Hour number two of Weekend Huddle here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly here with you. About to get into some bold takes, but first let me tell you that later today on ESPN 94.9 The Fan, the Nashville Sounds take on Charlotte at First Horizon Park with first pitch at 9:35 p.m. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. Also, this season, catch MTSU football on Totally Hits 93.3 with Chip Walters and Big Joe Dubin on the call. Today, the Blue Raiders will host Austin Peay. Kickoff is at 6. Coverage is also available on the Totally Hits Nashville app and at thetotallyhitsnashville.com. That's a mouthful. That's a lot to read right there. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Let's get into some of your bold takes. This is Bold Take Row. We welcome your takes, sports, non-sports, whatever you want to give us. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll start off with Devin and Dixon. He says, in maybe the greatest phrasing I've ever read on a text line, "Let me talk to you. You know who's going to bring the boom this year? The Alabama Crimson Tide will win the national championship. Yeah, roll Tide." I don't hate it. I have Alabama in my national championship. So
that's right. I remember we did it with Jake. Yeah.
I don't hate that.
So you're that high on Simpson at quarterback?
I'm high on Kalen DeBoer. I'm high on that roster because I think Kalen DeBoer always thrives when he has his guy at quarterback. I don't necessarily think Jalen Milroe was a Kalen DeBoer guy. Granted, DeBoer didn't recruit Ty Simpson, but Ty Simpson is obviously his guy. If it wasn't, he would have hit the portal and grabbed someone else. I think Simpson has kind of the traits that you're used to seeing in a Kalen DeBoer guy. Not the fastest guy, and can't really get outside the pocket, but has elite footwork and pocket presence inside and has just a cannon of an arm. I think of Michael Penix. That's kind of what I model the Kalen DeBoer quarterback frame as. I think Alabama coming into the season has a lot of receipts they want to hand out. Vanderbilt comes to mind. They want Tennessee. They want Georgia again. There's a lot of receipts needed to be delved out by Alabama, and I think they have the roster talent and the mentality to do it. Ryan Williams, their young wide receiver, who is no longer 17, by the way. We can't use that as a stat every week.
They're going to tell us that he's 18 instead.
Yes. Yeah, they really will. Yeah.
Yeah. He's only 18.
Anyways, Ryan Williams, the young receiver, I think is going to take a massive step this year. Maybe not to the level of elite wide receiver of Jeremiah Smith, but I'd put him at number two. He's going to be phenomenal. Devin, I don't think you're far off, my friend. I think there is a slight chance. Obviously, you got to take all of this with a grain of salt. We're in week one of college football. You never know what's going to happen. But on paper right now, I would tend to agree with you. Alabama has the potential to win a national championship.
Okay, I can't disagree. I'm still on the outside of that, but they could make a run. I'd just say they could make a run.
What is your bold take, Frazier?
Oh, boy. Hold on. Hold on to your britches, folks.
Hold on loosely. Don't let go.
You could say that. Yeah. Mississippi State is going bowling this year.
Whoa!
They're only projected 3 wins on the season. I'm stating my case right now. The Bulldogs will be bowling, and I don't want to go out on a limb saying maybe the Music City Bowl, but they'll for sure have 6 wins under my belt.
6 wins. Yep. Do you know? Would you tell us what those 6 wins are?
Yes. They win today against Southern Miss. Okay. Lose to Arizona State. Beat Alcorn State. They'll have a tough game against Northern Illinois. They gave Notre Dame the run for their money last year. Mm-hmm. So they're 3 out of conference games they win, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're 3 conference games they do have to win. Big upset. Florida, at Florida. They beat Arkansas on the road as well, mm-hmm. and they beat Missouri on the road as well. So
those are all winnable.
All winnable games. If they can win those 3 conference games, I mean, if they could sneak a win against Tennessee, that'd be great because it's in Starkville, and we all know, you know, Tennessee fans here would love that between Wallman and Parker.
The two stooges we have on the air.
Yeah, I just think the quarterback situation for the Vols is going to be a little bit of an issue this year. I think it's going to be a 2-quarterback tandem.
Yeah, and I do want to get into that here shortly. But
perfect. But that's my bold take. Man. I say Mississippi State gets 6 wins and they go bowling.
I mean, you just threw me off. I thought you were going to come in with, you know, Jeff Lebby may win 4 games this year. But
take a step higher.
Man, the Bulldogs are going bowling.
They are. Ring that cowbell.
Ring
baby.
That cowbell.
I have heard, I think I read it on X the other day, that there's people around that program that have really liked what Jeff Lebby's done in terms of making the roster what he wants it to be and, you know, working the transfer portal over the offseason. I think he threw like $35 million towards NIL.
Yeah. I will say Jeff Lebby, and I've talked to this with Chase and Joe about it, he was thrown into a situation that it's hard to really recover from initially. Obviously, the passing of Mike Leach, and then you have Zach Arnett that takes over, and then it's a coaching carousel from that point on. You bring in a guy like Jeff Lebby, who was at Ole Miss with Lane Kiffin, with a productive, high-octane offense, a really good mastermind of the offensive game. Then he goes to Oklahoma, and that bodes decently well for him in that atmosphere. Then comes to Starkville, Mississippi, in a program that is bottom of the barrel again. Whatever Dan Mullen built was crushed down by the great walls of the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you have to really build that back up. And I think what Jeff Lebby's trying to do, and what Wallman's, you know, stating the case of, putting a lot more money into the NIL, because that's the name of the game. You have to start adding more money into those veteran players, those guys that were coming from junior college and so forth. So I think that's primarily what Jeff Lebby's trying to do. I know I've made my case on these airwaves saying Lebby needs to be gone. If he doesn't win six games this year, I think he might be gone.
Interesting.
So
that is maybe not to the level of LSU or a program like that, but that is a program that expects to be at least competitive every year.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't win six games, you got to beat Ole Miss.
And it seems like ever since the Mullen days, it's been kind of, I mean, Coach, why am I blanking on his name? I can't believe I'm doing this.
Dan Mullen?
No.
The
crazy pirate.
Oh, Mike Leach.
Mike Leach.
Yeah.
Coach Leach had some good seasons, but none to the level of Dan Mullen, obviously.
Winning pedigree, that is.
Yeah.
As for a quarterback statistically, Will Rogers, best quarterback in Mississippi State history. Even over Dak Prescott. Statistically.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Holds the passing yards, touchdowns. Yep.
Interesting. So Nick Frazier has his Bulldogs going bowling. Parker Kelly, your bold take for the day, sir.
First of all, am I potted up?
Yes.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Beautiful. Okay, so going off of Frazier's point, I do believe in Jeff Lebby, but I think bowl eligibility this year, very out of the realm of possibility. But I do believe in Jeff Lebby and the future of Mississippi State. Okay, now that that is out of the way, my bold take, and I'm not the only one that has said this, I'm out on watch party, guys. I'm out on watch parties. I have a story. So on Thursday,
look at
I
you,
went over
Pakel.
To buddies.
I know what you're talking about.
I know, but I happen to agree with J.D. Pakel, and I've said this before, but I'm out on watch parties. So on Thursday, I went over to a friend's house. We had our fantasy football draft, and Nebraska-Cincinnati was on. I was sitting there. I was watching the game. I was doing my draft. I can multitask because I'm not one of those guys that takes forever to make his pick in fantasy football. I know who I want. I select my player, and I'm done, and I go right back to watching the game. But I'm sitting there Thursday, and I'm doing this draft. I'm watching Nebraska-Cincinnati. And I got guys to my left, guys to my right, talking to me about how work has gone, about how a lot of my friends are school teachers, talking to me about how school is going. I'm like, guys, like, I'm happy to hear about this. Maybe when the game is not being played, because I'm one of those guys that if there's a game on and I'm watching it, there could be a fire going on in the next room and I will not even realize it. So I am so locked into the game that, yes, I'm glad school is going great. But Nebraska and Cincinnati are battling it out. It's the fourth quarter. I don't necessarily care about how school is going right now. Maybe talk to me another time about that. So that's my bold take. I'd love to get your thoughts on that.
School is going great for me. Thanks for asking. No, I 1,000% agree with you. This is why I don't go to Super Bowl parties. I've been to a few in my lifetime, and I end up being the only one watching the game. My dad has a story where he was with a guy one time at a Super Bowl party, and this guy clearly knew nothing about football. So he said, "Wow, the Patriots have a lot of neat players this year, don't they?" And poor Rick just wanted to strangle that man right there.
Neat players.
Neat players. Real term that has been thrown out. I just, you know, I agree with you, Parker. It is 1,000% a thing for me as well. I do not do the watch parties, especially in a big game. Like today, you've got Texas and Ohio State. I'm going home right after this. I am locked in. I'm parking my butt on that couch until I got to get up and come back to work. No one bother me by then.
Don't text. Don't call. I won't see it. Simple as that.
Yeah, I mean, to Parker's bold take there about watch parties, I'm all about them. I love watch parties. I get to, working a lot, you don't get to see your friends as much as they are. I guess I'm older than you both by about 4 or 5 years. But nonetheless, once you get to the point of working a lot, you don't get to see your buddies, those watch parties come in handy. I mean, don't get me wrong, you're still watching the games. I'm still dialed in. But when he talks about fantasy football, I can't do both of those. I got to be doing fantasy football. And then
I don't do second screen when a game's on.
Wow.
Do you do multiple screens? Do you do multiple screens for games? So you're just one screen?
No. Yeah. Like if there's two games going on at the same time that I want to watch, then absolutely. But okay. I'm not, like some of these other weirdos that is, scrolling through TikTok while a game is on.
That's insane.
Yeah, that's criminal activity. If there's a game going on, I'm locked in, man. Like there's no and ifs, buts, ors about it. You're locked in. Jake Wallman, real quick, let's get your bold take.
So I've thought about this pretty much all morning before you guys came in, and I'm going to go to Chapel Hill, North Carolina. I just got a weird feeling in me that I think North Carolina makes a bowl game this year.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know what it is, and I can't explain it, but I think there's something brewing in Chapel Hill or Chapel Bill, whichever you want to call it, that they make a bowl game this year.
Do you want to be any bolder and say they possibly make a playoff push?
No. Uh-oh. I don't think it's a playoff. I don't think it's that deep. I think they go like 7-5, 8-4, and they make a bowl game.
I mean, think about it though. They only have one ranked game on their schedule, and it's Clemson. The rest of them, if they could take care of business the first 4 weeks, take on TCU Monday, beat Charlotte, take on Richmond, beat UCF, that's 4-0. If you're 4-0 going into Clemson, you got to have some momentum,
and
right?
I don't think UCF looked all that great. I saw last night they had like a 17-play drive for 50 yards that ended in a punt. So,
I don't know.
I mean, the 4-0 is not out of the realm of possibility, but I think they go 7-5.
I don't know. I just think they could go undefeated, not undefeated, but lose to Clemson and just win out. Maybe ACC.
It's not 11-1.
Maybe.
It's not a deep enough.
I don't know.
It's not a deep enough conference to where they just are middle of the pack. I think the talent that they have and the level of, coaching expertise they have in Bill Belichick, maybe he's not the same Bill Belichick, but I could totally see them winning 9 to 10 games in some way. I could also see him winning 4 games, but it's a matter of perspective, and I think that you kind of just have to look at it and say, I think they have the potential to do this. So that's kind of where I stand on UNC.
He's definitely a different coach because he's now eating acai bowls. Did old Bill Belichick with the Patriots used to do that?
No.
What is that?
An acai bowl? You never had an acai bowl?
No, what is that?
It's like, how would you explain this, Frazier? You're the foodie in the group.
It doesn't have chia seeds in it.
Yeah, it does. It has fruit, granola, but it's like a water base. It's not a milk base like yogurt or ice cream.
No. I don't eat anything I can't pronounce.
I'm not water based. I'm out.
It's a white girl delight. That's all you need to know.
Okay.
Let me give you mine. Mine is food related. Of course, we're delving into the non-sports portion of this. If you give me the opportunity to choose between a cake and a pie, I am taking a pie 10 times out of 10. On a birthday, I would rather have a pie than a cake. On a special occasion, I would rather have a pie than a cake. When my mom asks me, what do you want me to make for your birthday? I'll tell her, make me a cherry pie with ice cream on it. Because cake is fine. It's traditional. But I like the fruit in the pie. I like the warmth of the ice cream melting over it. Pie is better than cake. Case and point, I don't think I need to explain anymore.
I think that's pretty self-explanatory. My neighbor Don's a big pie guy.
He has, shout out Don.
Shout out. He's a big listener. Loves the show.
Shout out Don. Yeah. Thank you,
do
Don.
A great job. So, yeah,
he thinks you do a great job too.
Yeah, we all do.
I don't know Don, but I'm assuming that's obvious.
Don's a great guy. No, you make a good point about the pie. I think a nice peach cobbler. I don't know if you call that a pie per se.
Cobbler and pie are in the same family tree, I think. Yeah,
it has a fruit.
Yeah. Fair enough. Fair enough.
Still has a deliciousness. The ice cream pours over the top of it. You make a good
point. Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
I figured I'd tone it down this week so Parker wouldn't yell at me.
Cheesecake, though.
Oh.
Oh, no. I'm still... That's actually... Some are saying that's why I'm over Zoom today, because I'm still recovering from that horrendous Boise State take you had last week.
Well, I think they have more than uniforms to worry about right now, so...
Sure. But, man, the uniform, woo!
I stand by it. The number on the one side and the logo on the other side, it looks awful. We'll continue to take your bold take. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. You can text or call us and give us your bold takes throughout the rest of the show. When we come back, however, let's get into the local games going on in college football today. Vanderbilt taking on Charleston Southern in a sold-out First Bank Stadium. What do the Doors need to do to get momentum on their side? I have some thoughts on this. We'll do that coming up next. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly here on the Weekend Huddle on 102.5 The Game. Tune in for the Bichetta Bourbon Music City Grand Prix race on 102.5 The Game tomorrow. Coverage begins at 1 p.m. and is brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Scott Borchetta was at my school the other day.
Really?
The Bragg Media and Entertainment Building is now the Scott Borchetta Bragg Building. Media and entertainment.
They have a ribbon cutting for this?
Yes. This was Tuesday. So congratulations to Scott Borchetta, and thank you for all your support. He's donated $15 million to the media program of MTSU. So thank you for the support and, you know, putting your faith in people like me and all the guys that are younger than me in that industry. You are truly changing lives. So
indeed. I wonder why I didn't see that in the paper. That's interesting. It might have been. I just probably didn't oversee it.
It just happened. Okay. So it is very recent, but
look forward to it.
Wanted to extend my thanks to Mr. Scott Borchetta, a legend of the music industry and of the racing industry. So I'm glad that we are now associated with that name. Welcome back to the Weekend Huddle. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly here with you today. We're still taking your bold takes. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Devin and Dixon has weighed back in. He says, the multiple screams for games drives me nuts as well. Makes my AC/DC kick into overdrive, which I think means ADHD. But
oh, AC/DC. Let's go.
He loves Buffalo Wild Wings, but all the TVs are painful. I'll tell you this, Devin, don't go to a Circa Sportsbook over at Kentucky Downs if you're not into that, because Parker and I were there last week. It is glorious, first of all. They got an 80-foot screen. You just watch football all day. But there's a lot of people, and there's a lot of televisions. So if you're not into the multi-screen thing, I wouldn't advise that.
Yeah, bingo.
As I made the mistake of last week, it's not 80-inch. 80 foot. It is a big, giant screen to watch football, but man, yeah, that may give you a spasm with all the sports going on.
80 inch is no size to be ashamed of. That's the kind of inches you'll find in your bedroom. Let's go to our phone line and say hello to our friend Kenny the Mailman, who has a bold take for us. Kenny, good morning. Happy College Football Saturday. What you got for us?
A great morning to y'all. You know what? Even if you got to work, it's a great day.
Indeed.
Listen, has our friend Eric called in yet?
He has not. We have not heard from him.
He's probably mourning. He got some bad news last night. You know he's a lifelong Cowboys fan. He actually Joe Dubin yesterday.
Prayers up.
And criticized the trade. At 11 o'clock last night, Jerry Jones traded him for 3 Arizona Cardinal fans.
And that's why the Arizona Cardinals have these new uniforms that look like tortillas.
I thought it was like a speckled bird. They're horrific.
They're awful.
I don't know. They're hypnotizing these owners to buy these terrible uniforms. I just don't understand that.
Agreed.
But you know what? Jerry Jones, he is a master at making money, and I do give him credit. He's only one or two owners that actually paid for his own stadium. But he has created this myth that he built the Cowboys and won the Super Bowls. He had people that did that for him, and he's lived off that ever since. He is a master at money making, but just watch 5 minutes of the Netflix show, and you will see the ego that has been getting in the way of all these decisions for years and years. And frankly, I'm happy. Eric, it'll be okay. You got Kyler Murray to root for. See you later.
Thank you, Kenny. Thank you, as always. Nick Frazier, you second that decision. Root for Kyler Murray.
Yes.
That's your guy.
Look, I told you guys going in the draft, big Drake May guy. Turned out pretty good.
Yeah.
Kyler Murray, another guy. Don't be too out on him just yet. He's just in a bad situation.
Only one that needs to hit on our best possible NFL player draft is Kenneth Walker, who was taken for some reason.
Yeah.
It wasn't by you.
No, it wasn't. I don't understand that one either. I mean, he's an injury-prone guy. I mean, Kyler Murray, I get he's short, okay? I get it, everybody. But he is a decent quarterback. Fantasy.
He's not bad, Frazier. He's not bad.
You're taking up for all the short kings across the world.
Hey, we stick together. It's a good fraternity. We stick together.
We'll continue to take your bold takes throughout the show. Again, 615-737-1025 is our phone and text line. You can give us a text or a call. We will... answer and respond to you. I'm having some...
It's great radio, Connor.
Thank you. I'm having some issues today with my indigestion, I guess you could say.
It's just you're all full of... You're bubbly today because it's a college football day. It's day one.
I am bubbly. I'm very bubbly. Let's transition to the local games going on today. There is a game just down the street over on West End, over at First Bank Stadium, that's sold out, which is very exciting for that program. I'm very happy that Vanderbilt is back in some sort of limelight. They take on Charleston Southern today, kickoff at 6 p.m., our pregame show right here on 102.5 The Game with Andrew Allegretta, Norm Jordan, and our good friend Jake Lyman will be at 4:30. You can tune in to hear coverage of that. There is something I think Vanderbilt needs to do today, and that's go out and win by freaking 90. We had... Lyman and I, yesterday on Next Man Up, had Andrew Allegretta on, and I asked him, I was like, what do you need to see from Vanderbilt, and more specifically, Diego Pavia today, to make you think Vanderbilt is still on the same page they were last year? And he was like, honestly, I don't think I need to see anything. I think they need to play it safe, and, you know, Pavia can just be kind of a manager and facilitate, to which I disagree. I think if you want to generate revenue and excitement for your football program this year, go out there and win by 60 over Charleston Southern. I need to see Diego Pavia throwing for 400 yards and 6 touchdowns. I need to see Eli Stowers grabbing 3 touchdowns on the goal line. You need to throw everything you have. Don't feel bad. Don't be nice to Charleston Southern. There's no Southern hospitality in college football. I heard Joe talking about this yesterday, allowing your band of an opposing team to play on your field because it's Southern hospitality. Throw all of that out away today. Go out there, win by 90, and then we move forward. And guess what? You throw up points like that. I'm exaggerating, 90. But if you win big today and you look dominant, guess who's going to take note? All the other SEC teams on your schedule. Alabama, who's got you circled in red ink, is going to look at you and say, we see you. Tennessee, who's got you circled in big orange ink, is going to look at you and say, we see you. LSU, who comes here. All these teams that you have on your schedule that want to beat you are going to want to beat you even more because they saw what you just did. That's kind of where I stand on how Vanderbilt should play it today.
Yeah, and, you know, when Vanderbilt played Texas and Alabama last year, those big top five, top 10 games, they spread the ball out wide from sideline to sideline. They stretch things out. When you're going up against, when you're going up against teams like Charleston Southern, you need to attack them head on. A lot of that RPO stuff, like you're talking about Eli Stowers, hit them over a vert route over the middle, up the middle, You just need to take them on directly. A lot of run game today for Vanderbilt, or this evening, a lot of run game for them because you don't want to show too much. Obviously, yeah, try to beat them by 40, 50, 60, whatever it may be, but don't show too much to where all these other teams in the SEC have too much film on you. Obviously, they have film on you from last year.
Yeah.
You want to make sure you don't show up too much this year because they have 11 upperclassmen on this starting offensive side of the ball. All 11 are upperclassmen, juniors and up. 6 of them are graduates. So you have a lot of returners.
It's an old team.
Yeah. And I think
a lot of experience.
A big statement for Clark Lee because this is setting up your I guess I would call it a college franchise in some regard. This sets up your dynasty. If you can get, I know that's a stretch.
New file.
I know dynasty. Frazier?
I know it's a stretch.
You got to get off that game, man.
Listen, I know it's a stretch of a term, but Clark Lee has something here, and if he can capitalize on this season, going 9 wins, he can help that transfer portal and recruiting class build, like actually build, where you have substance coming in as freshmen and sophomores. So I probably shouldn't use the word dynasty, but some form of a seamless transition.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to try to bring us back down to earth here with what I have to say. I believe Andrew Allegretta, the phrase he used yesterday was he doesn't want to see any red flags. I think the excitement around Vanderbilt football is going to be there because this is a game that you should win. And as long as Diego Pavia is the quarterback at Vanderbilt, the buzz and the fact that it's sold out, that is all going to be there because he brings that with him. He is that lightning in a bottle for them, something that Vanderbilt has never had. Think about it, SEC media days. Arch Manning was the most talked about player for obvious reasons, but who was right next? Who was right below him? Diego Pavia.
Yep.
And I think from a completely non-biased perspective, this is great for Vanderbilt football. If you watch that SEC documentary on Netflix, the energy around the program, something that has never been felt here in Nashville before. And that's what Nashville needs. Nashville needs a college team like Vanderbilt to bring this buzz and honestly make that rivalry with Tennessee, make that in-state rivalry, take it to the next level.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. You can text or call us. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tune into the 1025 The Game, the Game Nashville app, or thegamenashville.com for NASCAR coverage of the Cookout Southern 500 tomorrow at 5 p.m. Coverage presented by Michael Waltrip Signature Floor. Rev up your day on the Michael Waltrip Signature Floor, located on the third floor of Hank Williams Jr. Boogie Bar, wall-to-wall sports, cold drinks, and great food to fuel the fun. When we come back, we'll break down the other local team playing today. Tennessee and Syracuse playing in Atlanta today. What does Joey Aguilar, the quarterback for Tennessee, need to show today to show that Tennessee has some life of a competent offense? That's up next here on the Weekend Huddle. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, and Parker Kelly with you here on 102.5 The Game. Weekend Huddle here on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by LPL Financial. Financial planning for tomorrow so that you can enjoy today. Welcome back in. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, and Parker Kelly here with you, breaking down the local teams playing across the world of college football today. Vanderbilt, I think we all agree, needs to have a big showing today against Charleston Southern. No respect for them. Do not be nice. No Southern hospitality. The other team locally, Tennessee playing Syracuse in Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. That's a bigger game than I think people realize because that is two Power Four programs, two programs that have a lot to prove. You want to see what Tennessee's offense looks like with Joey Aguilar at the helm. Fran Brown on the other side has returned a lot of returning talent, and that is a very conservative offense. You kind of want to see how that plays out against Tennessee's defense. But I pose the question to you guys. What does Joey Aguilar need to do coming into his first start as a Tennessee Volunteer to instill hope in this offense that this team really hasn't had since Hendon Hooker?
Connor,
one of the deepest positions on this team is the offensive line. They bring in transfer Sam Pendleton, who will be starting at center today from Notre Dame. They bring in Wendell Moy, who is going to be starting at left guard from Arizona. You return your left tackle in Lance Hurd, who was not great last year, but a former five-star guy. David Sanders is at right tackle, but he will be out today, so it'll be interesting to see who they start over at right tackle. And the run game has always been good under Josh Heupel, ever since he got there in 2021. But here's the thing about Joey Aguilar. I think I've said this to you before. I think statistically, he's going to be better than Nico this year. And I took the challenge. I watched a little bit of film earlier in the week. The thing about Nico was he was not great for this Tennessee team last year. He often overthrew guys. He was very conservative. He would one read and then start to freak out a little bit when he didn't need to, especially in that Ohio State game. Meanwhile, you look at Joey Aguilar, the play style is very different because he is a gunslinger. Hence, that's why he threw 14 interceptions last year, which led FBS. So it comes the good with the bad with Joey Aguilar. But in this Tennessee offense, the room to throw interceptions is not there because if you throw too many, the offense won't operate as needed. So rely on your run game heavily, and then when the big play is there, take the chance, and Joey Aguilar will have no problems doing that because he is a gunslinger at heart.
Yeah, I agree with Parker's, you know, same take there with the run game. I mean, I'm a run first type of guy, but especially when you have a lot of, I guess, Parker, is it safe to say some uncertainties with this offense?
Yeah, I mean, it's outside of the quarterback position. It's with the wide receivers as well. Chris Braswell is your leading returning receiver, and he had just under 400 receiving yards last year. And then Mike Matthews, a former five-star, hasn't really played. He doesn't have a lot of experience in this offense. He was there last year, got some play time, but wasn't a starter. So there's a lot of concern at the receiver position as well.
Yeah, and I remember on Chase and McJoe, I filled in for Chase one day when we were at the Omni. It was Joe and I. We talked to Ryan Callahan with 24/7 Sports, and I always asked him about the running back room, and he didn't really sound any alarms for me when he goes, you know, just another year, the running back room seems to always be good with Heupel, and same thing you just said there, Parker, about the running back room. I don't want to be too out on Tennessee just yet, but I am very concerned about this offense because my thing is if you don't hear too much about just the team in general, that to me raises concerns. It's like saying we're shielding off all the bad and just hoping for the best.
Yeah, I think you need to look, if you're Joey Aguilar, like Parker said, trust your run game. You have two to three solid running backs in your backfield that I think can get you some positive yardage. Also, if I'm Joey Aguilar, go with your gut. Do what you're good at, and that's scrambling around the pocket. He's an agile quarterback. He's mobile around the pocket. He can get loose and get some positive yardage. I would trust that more than I would trust him to throw the ball downfield. Now, am I saying I don't want to see him throw the ball down the field and try and hit Chris Braswell for a 50-yard gain? Of course I do. That's football. But at the same time, I think you need to take this from a strategic approach and trust your guts. Trust what your strong suit is, and that seems to be the rushing attack in general for Tennessee. You have solid running backs, and you have a good rushing quarterback. So I think that's kind of the strong suit of this offense. Very different from the 2022 team where it was throw the ball down your throat. We're going to throw it 60 yards every pass. I don't think they have the receivers to do that this year. Braswell and Mike Matthews and whoever else they have on that roster, they're not capable of breaking loose like your Cedric Tillman and your Jalin Hyatt were. But I think you need to trust the strong suits of this offense, and that's the rushing attack. Now, on the defensive front, Syracuse is going to play some conservative ball. They're going to run it and run it and run it just like you are. So I think the defensive front, the front line for the Vols needs to be on point today and limit that rushing attack. And I think that'll be the key to success. I don't think...
What?
Go ahead, Parker. I'm sorry.
So there are also so many questions with Syracuse too, because, I mean, they lost their running back from last year, Laquan Allen. They lost their quarterback, Kyle McCord. I mean, they were airing the ball out. Fran Brown has seen, think about it, he came over from Georgia. He was the secondary coach, I believe, in 2022, 2023. So he's seen this offense operate before. Now, Syracuse has never played against Tennessee before, so it's kind of hard to replicate what Tennessee does in practice. But Fran Brown has seen this offense operate before. That could help them in this game. But Syracuse, think about it, they have a decently tough schedule for an ACC schedule, and they lost a lot of guys from last year. It's kind of hard to know what the identity of either team is going to be because there's so many unknowns.
Yeah, it is a world of unknowns today for the Vols and Syracuse, but I think it's going to be a good game. Obviously going to be a lot of orange in that stadium, and I think the team that wears orange wins. I don't think that's a bold take to say.
That's a great assessment there, Connor. It depends on what...
There we go.
Is it a part of the Wildcat color wheel?
Oh, Volunteer Orange? Yeah. I'd have to look it up. I'm certainly sure it is. Like, there's no... Like, Texas has burnt orange, and that's technically their color. I'd have to look. I'll provide an update when I get a chance on if Volunteer Orange is in the color wheel. But it is a different orange than Syracuse orange, so...
I always thought it was the same. I guess not. A little, I guess different.
It's a little darker. Syracuse is a little darker.
Oh, okay.
Seems like.
That's what the people want to know.
Yes, this is informative sports talk. We're giving it to you right now here on the show. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Last call for phones as we get you out of here in about 15 minutes for the big game of the day, Ohio State and Texas. When we come back, we wrap it up like we always do with playing America's new favorite game. No disrespect to celebrity birthdays. I think that is America's favorite game. But this is America's new 1B favorite game. And that's Where Are They Now? I will host this week. Five players. We tell you where they play now. That's coming up next on Weekend Huddle. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, and Parker Kelly here on 102.5 The Game. Tune into ESPN 94.9 The Fan tomorrow at 2 p.m. for our college football game of the week. That is Virginia Tech, the Hokies, taking on the Gamecocks of South Carolina. Presented by Twin Peaks Restaurants and Circa Sportsbook in Kentucky. We were there last week. It's fantastic. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. And that's the end of the read. I was trying to see if there was more, and there was nothing. So welcome back to the weekend weekend huddle here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly here with you. And as we wrap it up with our final segment, we play your favorite game, your new favorite game, with some rule revisions after last week's debacle with Parker Kelly hosting. Gentlemen, it is the same. Five players. Except it's not players. Coaches are now permitted in this game. That can be NCAA, that can be NFL, that can be anywhere. Anywhere you want to put it.
Yeah.
Your first three will be within North America, so that's USA, Canada. Your last two can be anywhere in the world. 1 point for league, 2 points for precise team. Are we clear on the rules?
Yes.
Yes, we are. I agree. The coaches, adding coaches, much needed a rule change
after we got some complaining last week. Yes.
It was brought up to me as the commissioner. I was like, all right, we'll approve.
Yes. Your complaint was filed to New York, and the commissioner's office has approved. All right, gentlemen, if we are ready, let's go ahead and hit that music. All right, here we go. In the spirit of Catterday, Kentucky plays Toledo today. I have given you, we will start with a Wildcat.
Jumble. No, I'm just kidding.
Former Kentucky quarterback, one of my favorite Wildcats of all time, Lynn Bowden Jr. Where is the man who beat Virginia Tech in the Belk Bowl? Jake Lyman hates Lynn Bowden Jr. One of my favorites of all time. Nick Frazier, we'll start with you.
And the first three are in North America, right?
Yes.
Oh, boy. Lynn Bowden Jr. I'm going to go UFL. Going San Antonio Brahmas.
Okay. So UFL San Antonio Brahmas. Parker Kelly, where is Lynn Bowden?
I'm going NFL for the Las Vegas Raiders.
Nick Frazier, you are on the board. He is in the UFL.
Bingo.
For the DC Defenders. So Frazier,
he's backing up Jordan Tiamu?
Yes.
Wow.
Frazier, you are up 1-0. We welcome our very first coach of the, well, technically not our very first coach, but our first allowed coach of this game. Again, a former Wildcat. Where is possibly the worst coach in Kentucky football history? Joker Phillips.
Joker Phillips is, well,
I think I know this.
High school football, maybe? Can I add high school football into this?
You can.
Okay. I'm going to go high school football in the great state of Mississippi.
Okay. That's a wild one. I'm proud of you, though.
Thank you.
Parker Kelly, where is Joker Phillips?
Joker Phillips is still in college football, and he is an assistant coach for UL Monroe.
Joker Phillips is in college football, so Parker Kelly, you are on the board. He is a wide receiver coach for NC State. So we are tied at one. Number three, a former Volunteer legend, former punter, Paxton Brooks. Where is Paxton Brooks playing today?
Paxton Brooks is in the CFL, and I'm going to go with the Montreal Alouettes.
Okay, so the punter in the Canadian Football League. Parker Kelly, where is your friend Paxton Brooks?
Paxton Brooks is in the UFL for the let's go Arlington Renegades.
I almost said Paxton Lynch. Paxton Brooks is in the UFL, so Parker, you are on the board for that one. He plays for also the DC Defenders.
Wow! I was so close to guessing that. I didn't want to guess Defenders twice.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a wild card. So we are 2-1, Parker Kelly. is in the lead. We now move to the overseas portion of the contest. This one's directed for Nick Frazier. Yes. Former Mississippi State basketball player, DJ Stewart. Where does DJ Stewart play today?
DJ Stewart plays for the Shanghai basketball team. I don't know. Are they the Tigers?
The Shanghai Sharks?
The Sharks, yeah. Shanghai Sharks in that league.
In China?
Yes.
Okay. So Frazier's going China. Parker Kelly, where is former Mississippi State guard DJ Stewart?
DJ Stewart is playing in Spain for the Barcelona Bearcats.
Nice. He is playing in Slovenia for, oh my God, Cedevita Olimpija Ljubljana.
That's pretty good pronunciation.
Oh, I was so close.
Yeah, you guys were both very, very close. We are not knotted. Parker Kelly is in the lead 2-1 with our final contestant here on Where Are They Now? Former New York Yankee, Luke Voit. Where is Luke Voit? Believe he was involved in the Padres trade for Juan Soto.
Yeah.
At one point.
He was used as like a little scapegoat of a...
Yeah, he was just a veteran first baseman. Where is Luke Voit playing today?
I really want to say the KBO, but I don't know if that's the right answer. Oh, let me think. You know what? I'm sticking with my guns. I'm going KBO. I'm going the... Is it the Kia Tigers?
Kia Tigers.
Yeah, I'm going Kia Tigers. That's where Luke Voit is, KBO.
In the KBO, the Korean Baseball League, playing for the Kia Tigers. Parker Kelly, this is all or nothing, pal. If Frazier is wrong, you are in the lead. Where is Luke Voit playing today?
In a desperation heave, I'm going he plays for the Dominican Republic for the Santa Rita Tiger Sharks.
Luke Voit is playing in the Nippon Baseball League in Japan for the Tohoku Rakuten Golden Eagles. So Parker Kelly takes the knee in a pitcher's duel. He wins 2-1. Parker Kelly, we will see you next week as you host the illustrious Where Are They Now?
Well done.
Can't wait.
Cannot wait for that.
You have to get on the board.
Yeah, I told you they were going to be all-timers for the foreign players today. Some names I'm quite certain I butchered, but I think that's the fun in this game.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. We'll get over the hump. But you and me together, you'll help me out get over the hump.
Yeah, I'll coach you up.
Thank you.
We'll get you right. Well, that'll do it for us here on the Weekend Huddle today. Lots of football coming up. Lots of great, exciting games today. Texas, Ohio State, of course, coming up very, very soon. LSU, Clemson tonight, and the biggest game of the day, Kentucky and Toledo. I'm sure the eyes of the nation are on that one and joining me and Big Blue Nation in that one. For Nick Frazier, for Parker Kelly, for Jake Wallman behind the board, my name is Connor Newt, saying so long. Enjoy your football today. We will be back on the air with you on Monday, 9 to 11:30 for a Labor Day special of the Weekend Huddle, the long Weekend Huddle, we'll call it. But for now, we say so long. You've been listening to the Weekend Huddle here on 102.5 The Game.
See ya!